I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are there Reese's Pieces in the snack room in the machine? Because I'm going to go get some right now!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
The hostility, the intensity we love. For candy. Welcome to our Dunn Tire Roundtable. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. Sneaky Joe, are the quotes around Sneaky or around Sneaky Joe?
I don't really know.
Still have time to think about it.
Both.
Both. That would be hilarious. Double set.
Double set.
Right. Sneaky. Like, quote. Sneaky, end quote, new quote, Joe, end quote. Yeah, there we go.
All kinds of fun.
Make your mark, Joe.
Going into this game, so the Bills lose to Pittsburgh and then pretty much crush Miami. I was just thinking about, like, so the Pittsburgh game was there. Like, they had a 10-point third quarter lead. And you have the one drive and the blocked punt, and they just can't get there. I mean, this is always available to fans or people talking about football. This always can be done. Just thinking, like, that stupid block punt wouldn't have been hard to win that game without it. And if they had, look, the Chiefs, maybe I'm getting carried away with this, oh, Frank Clark and whatever, like, they lose the game to Baltimore. I don't know. What do I want to say? I think the Bills are, you know, they went into the season as the second choice in the AFC, and they pretty much still are, right? Like, Cleveland, okay. Baltimore is in terrible injury shape. It's not so bad, is it?
No, I think things are – I mean, I'll tell you, the Kansas City – I mean, beating Miami, obviously, 35-0, felt good. And whatever worry – we might have had about Josh Allen and the passing offense in that game, you know, immediately when it was over and even rolling into Sunday night, I think that all sort of, it didn't exactly go away. We spent a lot of this week, of course, talking about, you know, the passing game, and it's got to get right. It even came up an hour ago when Sal was on with us, how Josh talked about maybe pressing if he doesn't get off to a good start and that kind of thing. All that said, to me, when, you know, I saw the Kansas City score, and knowing the state that Baltimore is in and they beat Kansas City, I sort of felt like, I don't know, I'm a little less concerned about everything. You know, I feel like, you know, 1-1, okay, Kansas City's 1-1. That's who I think once we get into the real meat of this thing, like halfway in or more, who I expect the Bills to be competing with is the Chiefs more than anyone else. Even more than the Steelers, who beat the Bills in Week One, so I think it's falling pretty nicely. You know, I mean, it's so cool when it's one of those things that I think is a real benefit of having a team that is expected to be good. Like right from the start of the year, you're paying a lot of attention to everybody else, or at least to the team that you expect to be chasing slash competing for the one seed with, or need to get through to get to the Super Bowl, or that kind of thing. And I think that's off to a decent start. You know, like they stumbled, and to me they look vulnerable. You were saying it all summer. Like, do they have to be invincible? And you know, I think they're not. I mean, they got their points, but they can get scored on. I would expect the Chargers to get points on them on Sunday, whether they get enough to actually beat the Chiefs or not. I mean, that's the object of it. Winning close games, there's no penalty for it. You know, we can dream about them being vulnerable because all they do is win these close games. But if they keep winning them, that doesn't really help me. But I think if you're going to keep cutting it that fine in this league, you're going to lose some games. So I feel like it's going well. Baltimore, well, I mean, we'll see. It's a nice win for them last week, but all these injuries, I have a hard time envisioning them being a real threat. You know, once we get to December and January, because of the injuries. And so, yeah, I think it's, you know, and we'll see about Cleveland, and we'll see about, I don't know, the Raiders or whatever. But I feel like it's going well in that department.
Yeah, the Chiefs, I'm thinking about it some more here, listening to you, like, it's defense. But when has anybody ever started a point about the Chiefs talking about defense? And, oh, they didn't, in the offseason you referred to, they didn't add a wide receiver. When have they needed one? Like, who has been their second wide receiver that's really meant a lot? Watkins is the closest. The point is Mahomes. And it's sort of interesting to compare the Chiefs to the Bills in this way through two games, where with the Chiefs, I think you can say, well, what about this, this, and this? Why isn't the running back productive? Can they stop people? They couldn't stop the run in either game. They were just abused in both games. But Mahomes. And nobody has figured him out yet. Like, the Browns didn't and the Ravens didn't. And, you know, he was awesome in both games. Here, what have we got? The defense is great. They have given up one touchdown in two games. And as we talked about a couple hours ago, with their schedule coming up here, they could set records if they keep that pace up in these next two games for like the first month or something. They could really look dominant with playing Washington and Houston. Who knows? But Allen, right? In Kansas City, you've got, man, the quarterback, he might just be too good. And here, we're wondering what the quarterback is, you know, thinking. And why isn't he yet at that same sort of, you know, perfect level like last year where Mahomes resides? So, I don't know what the conclusion is. You know, it's still – the quarterback is always like the most important thing about a team. Last year, these two teams were very good overall. Maybe you'd say the Bills, man for man, were better. But the quarterback difference, and then here we had a quarterback play at an MVP level. This year, we don't yet. And the Chiefs, I guess, do. It's two games, I know, so it's kind of funny to put it in that context. The Chiefs do. Where does that leave us? We could feel good about the overall, the rosters, how the teams compare. And this is when I think to say, they're not playing Kansas City this week.
Right. Well, or next week, right. They've got, I think, Joe, a couple of weeks here to maybe, you know, I want to say something that gets settled out, like get right on that side of the ball. And really, by that, I just mean get us feeling right about their chances of beating the Chiefs, right? Because I don't happen to think that the way they've played on defense is proof so far through two games, and nor do I think I'm going to feel much better about how well they play in these next two, and they should play pretty well if they're pretty decent on that side of the ball. I think the Chiefs are a whole different thing, and I still think you're going to need the offense humming and Allen really kicking it in order to take the Chiefs down in two weeks from now or in January.
I'm not going to want to make an indictment on the Bills' defense because they've played Roethlisberger, Brissett, Heinicke, and Mills. Like, I'm going to think we are going to have to wait a little bit to see how for real this defense is, and maybe that happens in Kansas City, but I'm not going to be expecting to go in there and just limit them to 21 or 24 points right, or anything just because you've done that to those four quarterbacks. So, like, I don't want this to sound like they're having to baby the quarterback, but if didn't Sal see something last hour? It was like half listening about like Diggs having to like pick Allen up in in the huddle and whatnot. Like, I don't want this to have to be the case, but maybe he just needs two games here to like help build his confidence going into Kansas City. Like, yeah, go throw all over the Texans, and then maybe he's a better quarterback against Kansas City because the most recent thing in his mind, it's like a basketball player. You just saw the shot go in, so now you have more confidence shooting. If he throws for 300 in the next two games, then maybe he's a better quarterback against the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's what I meant by get right, right? I mean, it would certainly make us feel better, but I think it would make him feel better. And I want to venture to say his comments this week lead me to think that that matters. You know, that he gets tense maybe or presses if he's not doing well to start a game. Like, he admitted that this week. And, you know, I'm not inclined. You know, I know these guys just got to get through these news conferences, but I'm taking that to heart. You know, I feel like he's letting you know something there. I don't think that's something you just say to say. You know, I think you might even wish you hadn't said it because you're admitting that you're vulnerable to that, to your emotions getting out of whack. And so I think a couple of good games here against whatever the competition is could maybe set him up nicely for Kansas City.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about, like, this is probably not at all worth saying, but, like, so what if you're Washington? What do you do with that information or that thinking if you're Washington? If anything, like, you know, you could come after him in the beginning of the game, try to throw him off or something, but that doesn't have to work.
Or you just hope he misses his first couple throws.
You know, like, right, I don't know what I'd do with that, because maybe that sort of approach is counterproductive. That's why it's not worth talking about. Who knows? Who knows about any of this? You know, it's just been a little bit confusing so far, but also not in the sense that until last year, this is what Allen looked like.
Well, to me, like, that could end up being the difference between, and I think there will probably always be a difference, but between Mahomes and Allen, and, like, what's the regularity that they have off games? Like, Mahomes is rare in that he just doesn't have them, but everyone else kind of has him. Like, Russell Wilson last year for half a year looked like the best quarterback in the league, and then he had four or five off games and it took him out of the MVP race. Like, guys just have him, and Allen's gonna have them more regularly than Patrick Mahomes is. That's probably just the reality that we're facing. But if it's gonna be like this, where he's gonna go through, if I include the playoffs, like a 3-4 game stretch where I think he's looked pretty pedestrian, that worries me about their ability to ever beat a team like Kansas City in a game that really matters.
Yeah.
The offense, a little different. You know, we saw Knox in the last game, a little bit more from the running game. The score was by the middle of the third quarter. There really wasn't anything to gather about the Bills on offense, I would say. Like, you had highlights, you had a couple scores, but when the game's one-sided like that, I'm not going to want it for, like, information.
Right.
So I still say, I mean, it's simplified. I still think the path to the top of the mountain is the way they played last year. Spread out and Dable scheming and Allen just clicking. And then you just had, you know, you had whatever it was, 500 points or whatever it was. So to me, that's the way it's going. I've been saying, like, you either get there and win that way, maybe make yourself good enough to go all the way, or somebody else will do that and win that way. Could be Kansas City, which we've seen. It could be another team. Maybe the Chargers are good and can do that. Like, they did just lose to Dallas. Who knows? It's still so early in the season. One other thing that's maybe different or new about all this, and we're talking about the Chiefs, and somebody could easily and maybe rightly say, well, why are we obsessed with them? You know, it's so early in the season, and, like, I say how they're not playing Kansas City this week. It's that the division, the Miami loss to the Bills, was really a thud. I mean, that was really a bad day, because here they were, up in the standings, last year's loss to the Bills, if you want it, for emotion, and, like, just every reason to want to think that you can, if you're the Dolphins, you can play with them and, you know, be a contender. And it couldn't have gone worse. Right. It just could not have gone worse. They could not do enough to stop the Bills' offense. It was not the worst part of their day. Tua gets hurt. He's still out. They have the long-term questions besides. There are the Patriots. There probably is no Jet threat. And I kind of feel like there's no real Miami threat. it would be New England. And what do we know? We just know that the Dolphins also beat them. So I don't know. Like I keep saying it because I get self-conscious about what people are hearing. Like it definitely can change and change and change again. Mm-hmm. But the AFC East looks a little bit smooth.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's you know, to me, we're focusing on the right thing. I mean, if you know, New England ends up biting the Bills, then shame on us, whatever. You know, this year you go in as the second or third favorite to win the Super Bowl off of the year they had last year. I think you should be, I don't want to say taking the division for granted necessarily, but it shouldn't be the hardest thing. I know the GM and the coach will tell you, well, we got to win our division games and win our division first, and then, you know, and all that stuff. They talk about the process and all that. We don't have to do that. You know, we're just hanging out here. We're expecting a good to great team, and that means you're competing with the other good to great teams. And if there aren't any in your division, well, then you got to look west. If you're in the East, and so that's what we're doing. I happen to agree mostly with, you know, your assessment of their offense. I don't mind the 11 personnel, getting out of the 4 and 5 wide in the spread, because if you can prove that you can run it effectively, that might help you get, you know, I know this is sort of rudimentary football, you know, theory, but It might bring teams out of the stuff that is giving Allen trouble right now. And if they have to respect something else, maybe they won't respect it at all and they'll just stay back there. And, you know, then we'll have a different way, you know, they'll have to crack the code another way. But if they can mix up what they're doing instead of just going super heavy with 4 and 5 wide and still move, all I want to do is move the ball. And yes, I want to be dangerous and explosive passing it. And I don't think staying out of 4 and 5 wide has to necessarily mean that you're going to throw it less. I think you're just going to try to find a way to, in both running and passing. I think maybe that would serve them well in the long term if they can do that. And maybe last week was a sign that we're going to see that. We'll see what week to week looks like. I mean, they also might get into games where they think they should really eat spreading teams out. And maybe this is one Sunday and they'll just do that, you know, way more than they did last week. But I'm not that worried about, them always looking like they're this high-octane spread team, because I think you can be high-octane in a lot of different ways.
The smoking story of the week would be, perhaps, like, what have we talked about the most? It would be Allen and just why he's off so far. Brought to you by Decades. Decades Psychedelic Days, Western New York's grooviest smoke shop. Allen in at 56% through these two games. We thought we kind of graduated from that area, and maybe we'll soon return to what last year really was. But so far, we've said that a couple times through the week, that feels like that's not really in dispute, is it? That he has struggled a little bit. And you're mentioning how he's talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that is the thing. I mean, last week it was the line because they got just smacked around by Pittsburgh, but that stabilized last week, and, you know, Allen still was, you know, uneven. He was barely above 50% completion, and I think it's for sure the biggest story of the week as it pertains to the Bills, when your quarterback is telling you that, you know, he starts pressing if it doesn't go well early in the game, and, you know, guys on the team got to sort of, like, you know, reel him in a little bit. All eyes, newsflash, right? He's the second highest paid quarterback in the league now. There's going to be a lot of pressure. There's a lot riding on his performance for him personally, for the team, for the fans, the organization. I mean, there's a lot resting on him, and that could take some time for him to adjust to mentally, you know? Like, I'd hate to think every pass he airmails or throws, you know, awkwardly low or whatever, he's thinking, oh, my God, I'm making $258 million. Oh, my God. But, you know, he just might be putting a lot on himself. It sounds like to me like he is.
I wouldn't think it's the specifics like that, but you just the reality of it. Where people are expecting you to play at a super high level, and that could make it harder. For some guys, it would. For some guys, you know, maybe it's the other way around. Who knows? The Dunn Tire Roundtable, presented by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and brought to you by Rachel's Mediterranean Grill, official partner of the Buffalo Bills, by Excelsior Orthopedics Express, sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break. Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express, and by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Talk some more details about this matchup. What is Washington through two games? Also, 1-1. With a loss to the Chargers and a win over the Giants. We'll do some of that. Look at injuries, too, as we continue on the Dunn Tire Roundtable. Mike Schoppe and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe, this is WGR.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that the season isn't as clean as everyone thinks it is, right? Even going back to last season, just for a split second, that it was not a straight line arrow up at all moments. You know, when you come back after a season like we had to come into this season, yeah, you've got to make sure that you reset and in some ways disengage from that and recognize that the season's going to ebb and flow. There's going to be good moments and bad moments, just like, in fact, there was last season. And it's how you respond and how you learn from those moments. And then at the same time, learn how to play free. And I thought his game last week showed a lot of improvement from the week before. And excited to watch him this week as well.
Sean McDermott this morning on the Extra Point Show. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio. This is the Dunn Tire Roundtable. Joe is with us. Mike Schoppe and the Bulldog talking mostly about Washington at Buffalo Sunday at 1. We want to give you the injury update brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Bills have two corners listed as questionable, Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace. If you're Washington, what do you want to do here on offense? McLaurin is their best player, I think. Gibson is good. McLaurin is a stud. They haven't had the kind of quarterbacking, though, where he's really been able to, like, just completely blossom. So, you know, Bills have Trey White, but if it were my team, he's the guy I would want to force into every game plan, every big moment.
Yeah, I think playing this team, I would, you know, you mentioned we talked to Sal earlier this afternoon how, like, Trey White does not have the, you know, he's not one who follows the other team's best receiver around the field like some other top corners will do. I feel like this game, and maybe, you know, the injuries you mentioned, if one or both of Levi Wallace or Dane Jackson can't play, I mean, we'll see. They both did practice today, so, but they're still listed as questionable, so, you know, that means there's some doubt that they could be available. I think I might want to make sure I'm taking McLaurin away. And, you know, the easiest way to think about doing that, I think, is to just have Trey White follow him around. So we'll see. I mean, schematically, the Bills might just not like to do that. But if they're down to a practice squad corner having to play snaps in this game, you might want to consider that, I think, because, you know, I'm sure there are other capable guys. You mentioned a rookie whose name is escaping me right now on that Washington offense, receiving-wise. But McLaurin's the guy. You know, I think if the Bills are going to struggle in this game or even lose this game, I would think McLaurin is going to would have a big day. And I would want to devote Trey White to him if I were putting this together. I'd also want to guard against Heinicke hurting the Bills on the ground, because like, it feels like I think I made the point this week about Daniel Jones, or maybe it was late last week after they played on Thursday night last week, Washington and New York, that Jones is not such a good runner that you go into the game like, oh, my God, we got to contain Daniel Jones on the ground. But he's good enough to hurt you if you're not. If you're not buttoned up, and you saw that happen, I think Heinicke's kind of the same way. Like, the Bills have shown they do a good job on Lamar Jackson, at least in the playoffs last year, you know, containing him and not really letting him just rip them apart on the ground. But I don't know that you would think about Heinicke, you certainly wouldn't think about Heinicke the same way, put a focus on stopping his running the way that you would Lamar Jackson, because it's a much more integral part of Jackson's game than it is Heinicke. I think, you know, we don't have a big sample of Heinicke games, but I think he moves pretty well. And if the Bills aren't careful, like, he could extend drives and make some plays with his legs in this game too.
Taylor Heinicke out of Old Dominion. This would be his second regular season start. He started a playoff game. I think that's right, isn't it?
No, he came in for an injured Who got hurt last year?
Did Alex Smith start
that game? I don't think he started that game. He came in, I think, in relief.
You mean the playoff game?
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
The playoff game he started.
Oh, he did. I apologize.
There was a game late in the regular season where he came in relief against Carolina week 16.
His first career start was the game against Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Okay, and then his second was last week after Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt in their opener. Old Dominion, he's interesting. The consensus I hear is he might be better than Fitzpatrick, but obviously Washington wasn't so sure by they're signing Fitzpatrick in the first place. A bummer for Bills fans who loved Ryan Fitzpatrick that they won't see him here in this game. Dyami Brown is the rookie receiver, and he's been on the field a lot for Washington, but, you know, again, the quarterback change maybe. He's a rookie third-round pick out of North Carolina. Nothing's really clicked yet there. Fantasy-wise, they're annoying for when they take Antonio Gibson off the field because Gibson is good, and he was a college receiver at Memphis. So why would you take him out on passing downs? But they are still doing some of that. J.D. McKissic had a big play for them in the Giant game on Thursday night. This will be the first of two straight Bills opponents that are coming off the longer week, having played the Thursday night game. Washington last week and then Houston, which played last night. But the Bills are still a 7 to 7.5 point favorite here, and they'll be maybe around double that next week, depending on what happens in this game. Joe, where are you on Washington? Do you think, well, you know, you were kind of like me in that we sort of liked them in the offseason.
Yeah, I think part of the reason I wouldn't like them now is their defense just doesn't seem to be performing the way people thought they would have. The pass rush is a part of that. Chase Young has, like, only a couple pressures, maybe through a couple of games. And they're having to manufacture a lot of blitzes. They're the second highest blitz team in the league so far. I think that's kind of troublesome. And then on the offensive side of the ball, like, I wanted this. Part of it was I wanted to see Curtis Samuel in this offense, and he'll get there. I mean, he's eligible to return next week, so that's not going to happen against the Bills. But they've got two guys really that I trust in the pass game. It's McLaurin, and it's Samuel, and it is Thomas. But like past that, like they're trying to make Dyami Brown a thing. He's got 10 targets already through two games, but 32 yards is not all that good for that type of workload.
No.
So
I just think that will get there. He'll get there.
Yeah.
With his usage and the player he is, I expect that to get there. But
I just don't think the
offense
is diverse enough and has got – I'm hesitant on the quarterback. I'm hesitant to just declare that he can make them even an average offense in the league.
The Bills do get – well, last year, I guess, you know, the defense has been excellent so far, but their run defense last year was not great. And, you know, we'll see in this game what they can do against Gibson. How about, well, are we constructing the game plan a little bit?
I don't know. I mean, I talked about Heinicke running and the Bills guarding against that. And, you know, I felt like that was pretty game planny.
Yes. I would have to agree.
I did not have a hammer in my hand, but I still think we can take credit for constructing the game plan, which is brought to you by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it.
I just want to see with the Bills on offense, how aggressive, if that's the word you want, like how aggressive do they want to be? What do they think about where Allen is? Do they think that they will have a tough time, or as the game plays out, are having a tough time protecting him? And what will they do about it? The Pittsburgh game was pretty rough in this way, and Allen struggled, and they lost. And last week, there were some of the same signs, but they were not threatened at all. Like Miami couldn't move the ball at all, and it was just easy. So I don't really know from last week's game too much about where their head is on this. You heard McDermott in the update, like he would always do, talking about the positives, right? So you get these clues from what they do, how they line up, and what they think they can get done against Washington. That'll be interesting here in this game because it's a question right now. And you did see more Knox and Singletary and Moss last week. I mean, they added Moss to the active roster after his being inactive in the first game. I mean, McDermott, and there was talk about Moss being hurt. He was never on the injury report. If he was hurt, he should have been on the injury report. So it seemed more like about what they thought they needed for Pittsburgh. And then last week came around and they thought they needed Moss. So are we thinking about that at all for this game? I guess I'm not at all. I feel like they'll both probably play again, but haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, five running backs, though, if you count the fullback and, of course, Jones on special teams. But, yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked, I guess, if Zach Moss came out of the lineup after scoring two touchdowns last week.
Sure. Yeah, I think I'd be surprised as well. Buffalo, Washington, 1 o'clock on Sunday here on WGR. Our pregame coverage starts at 7. Breakfast with the Bills, then game day, then countdown to kickoff, and then Bulldog and I are on after the game. And Joe is here too, by the way, after the game. So if you need Joe.
And before.
Joe's here before. Joe's here for all of it. Joe's here for like 16 hours on Sundays.
In the stadium before, here after.
Wow. Then what?
I don't know. A bar.
Round the clock, Joe. 24-hour Joe.
I'm doing play-by-play for Sunday Night Football, actually.
Then right to the Extra Point. You're not on the Extra Point show on Mondays.
No. Tuesday, Sal solo Mondays, me solo Tuesdays.
We've talked plenty here, even this hour, about the AFC. Kansas City, the Dolphins in the division, Baltimore and the injuries. And that's fun. That means you're good. If you're not good, you're talking about the draft instead. But we're not doing that. So we will look around the league a little bit further when we come back on this, the Duntire Roundtable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe on WGR.
His length doesn't let them grab him. I mean, it's like your little brother. You hold him like this, and they can't reach you, or they try to hit you. It's kind of the same deal whenever Greg's arms. I mean, he's 6'8". Wingspan's probably close to 7 foot. It's just hard for people to be able to grab and hold on to him whenever he can keep him at bay at a distance and still be running full speed and making moves. But he just makes it very difficult just with his physical stature on offensive linemen.
That is A.J. Epinesa coming off his best day in the league, I would say. Talking about teammate Greg Rousseau, his physical advantages. Sean McDermott made an interesting comment about Epinesa on our Extra Point show this morning, talking about how this year he decided to come to work before he was, you know, due in, basically on his own time, that he's made an extra commitment this year. So far, so good on that. It's the Duntire Roundtable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Quote, Sneaky, quote, Joe, quote, DiBiase. We're trying that. Double quote. Quadruple. Time to go around the league in a dash. Brought to you by Dashes. Shop the family of finer foods. Dashes Market. We've talked a lot about certain things. Kansas City a lot. Baltimore a little bit. Houston, who the Bills play next week. Houston played last night. Davis Mills, the rookie, starting for them, and they lost to Carolina, which is now 3-0. Maybe Carolina's worth a minute. And Sam Darnold. Because, you know, he kind of looked like a bust there with the Jets. But maybe he's not. Environment's big, Bulldog. You've always said it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he was, what was he, Todd Bowles year one and then 2 years of Adam Gase?
Yep.
I mean, well, I think, you know, Gase, you know, not, I don't think he's, well, what's he doing? Is he in Alabama or is he coaching high school?
He's an offensive coordinator at a high school.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think Darnold got a bad rap. That doesn't mean he's going to be great, but I think he's got a fighting chance now to sort of, you know, retrieve a career out of this. And, you know, they might be pretty nice. Like, their skill, I mean, losing McCaffrey hurts. But, you know, how much will it hurt? You know, I mean, he's the best running back in the league, but, you know, put another guy in. You know, they've got, you know, Moore is nice. So we'll see. And that defense is getting a lot of run for just finding a way to get free guys coming in on the quarterback. I think the loss of their rookie corner there, Horn, hurts a bit. That's a nice-looking player. Like, he looks like a very versatile player to me, like watching him last night for the first time before he got hurt. I just kept seeing 8 and thinking, like, who is that? And what, he just seems to be everywhere. Like, for a corner, good. Like, he's only 6'1", but he plays big. I think. And so we'll see if that hurts them. He's out pretty long term. I don't think they've ruled him out for the season.
Months.
Broken
yep.
bones in his foot. Months, yep. right? So, but their defensive coordinator is getting a lot of love. I mentioned him earlier this week. That's how much love he's getting, is that his name, Phil Snow, came up on this show
earlier
in the week.
Phil Snow.
Yeah. That's thanks to Doug Farrar with the Touchdown Wire in USA Today. He wrote a long piece about him. That's why I even knew to pay attention to what they were doing on defense. So, you know, and they've had a pretty soft start. And, boy, I'm trying to remember now. I saw a chart this week with all the 2-0 teams in the league and, like, who's most likely to make a deep run given the caliber of their opponents. I've got it saved somewhere. I hope I can find it real quick here while I'm talking. But I feel like Carolina's schedule was pretty decent for them to maybe keep going. But we'll see about that. The Raiders also have a very soft schedule on that front, not that we're talking about them necessarily here. But
it is around the league in a dash.
Yeah, Carolina, I found it. Well, they've got Dallas next week, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Giants, the Falcons, the Patriots, the Cardinals, Washington.
Okay.
Like those. That's, you know, I mean, that's not a real heavy lift. I mean,
you like it.
It depends on what you think of Minnesota and Dallas there. But
there was a quick mention of Adam Gase here. Kevin Clark of The Ringer was tweeting last night about Gase. So people seem to all know by now how there's this Gase effect, this post-Adam Gase effect. Darnold maybe right. enjoying what Ryan Tannehill did. The Broncos won the Super Bowl right after he left the Broncos. Did you know? And you would if you saw this, that right after he left LSU in 2002, apparently he was there, the LSU football team won the national title the next year. And by the way, his high school in Michigan won the state title the first season after he graduated high school. Marshall High School in Michigan. So there's a long history, it turns out, of
yep.
Adam Gase leaving and wherever he just was, things turned up. Darnold, it's the Jets and the Texans around a Saints team that might be almost as bad. I don't know. Like, we got to go slow. You talked about the schedule. That's always a good thing to do. All right, we will have picks next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.